City of Friends by Joanna Trollope. Read by Adjoa Ando. Chapter 1. Stacy. The day Stacy Grant lost her job was a Wednesday. Somehow, having Thursday and Friday still to go in a working week only added to the shock of what had happened, the violent sense of injustice. How could this be? How could it? She was, after all, a 47-year-old woman who had been, usefully, commendably, at the same company for 16 years. 16 years. Jeff Dodds, the senior manager who had sacked her, was 2 years her junior and had joined the company 5 years after her. He was not, Stacy had repeatedly insisted to her colleagues, a bad person, despite his habit of sending demanding weekend emails and ringing late at night with urgent requests for feedback. He was only really testing their commitment to the company. He was, she pointed out, almost avuncular in his desire to mentor his teams, to offer advice and guidance. That he didn't understand the realities of their lives was indeed a blind spot, but not a deliberate cruelty. There were worse managers by far, Stacy had told the rest of the team repeatedly, than Jeff Dodds. So much, she thought now, and savagely, for my loyalty. So much for my sense of stupid fair play. So much for doing the decent sodding thing. The eyes of her colleagues were upon her as she packed the contents of her desk into a cardboard box. A few were mildly gleeful. This was a diversion, after all. But most looked stricken and sympathetic. Several had tried to speak to her when she came out of the meeting room with Jeff. How? Her husband Steve had said when the move to an open-plan office had first been mooted, do you fire someone in front of everyone else? But she had made it plain that if she opened her mouth at all, it would be to scream, which, after the brief excited moment of release, would leave her feeling worse than ever. She had shaken her head and tried to smile and headed back to her desk as if an imperious purpose awaited her there. So they watched her, covertly, while she collected up the pitiful domesticity of her working life and dropped it in a box. By the lifts, a colleague came running to intercept her. He was openly agitated. The top button of his shirt collar was undone, under the loosened knot of his tie. Stacy! Too late, she said, indicating an arriving lift. He stepped in front of her, barring the way. I shouldn't have advised you. I shouldn't have told you to ask him. She stared down at the box in her arms. It wasn't you. But I advised you. She didn't look up. She found she couldn't. He had other ideas. Other ideas entirely, Tim. All I did in the end was give him the chance to implement them. I don't understand. He can't just sack you for asking to work flexibly. He can't. It's against the law. Stacy sighed. The box in her arms had suddenly become unbearably heavy. He's not a monster, Tim, she said sadly. He's just a dinosaur. He's got a wife to run his domestic life, and his own parents are conveniently dead. He just doesn't have a clue. Another lift pinged its arrival. Please, Stacy. I can't stay. Not another minute, not after this. Please, let us take it to another level. Please don't be so impulsive. Whatever he said, please. Stacy stepped into the lift. Her handbag was slipping awkwardly off her shoulder. She turned to face the open door. Just be warned, she said. And then the lift doors slid shut across his unhappy face, and she was borne down to the glass and chrome foyer, where Charlie from Ghana was on reception, absorbed in the football results on his smartphone. At the top of Ludgate Hill, in the new precinct to the left of St. Paul's Cathedral, Stacy found an empty litter bin. Extracting the few framed photographs from the box, she tipped the rest of the contents into the bin. New packets of tights, sundry redundant cables, energy bars in battered packets, a toothbrush, paperclips, pens, old birthday and Christmas cards, a rubber spider someone had left on her computer screen on April Fool's Day, and a small cascade of other objects which represented, that Wednesday afternoon, happier and more certain times. After the box was emptied, she crammed it down on top of everything it had contained, breaking it in order to fit it into the bin. When she was 14, she remembered, and her mother's brother had left the Royal Air Force, she had stood in the